Malcolm Ross of Joseph K. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Turnout Monday, May 13th at 7 p.m. at Upstate Films Orpheum Theater in Saugerties for a screening of Stand By for Failure, a documentary about the groundbreaking band Negative Land, who pushed the boundaries of sound, media, propaganda, and perception. The evening additionally features a discussion with the film's director, Ryan Worsley, and Mark Hosler of Negative Land via Skype. This event is a co-presentation of Upstate Films, Playtime, and Wave Farm. More information and tickets at upstatefilms.org. And turn out to see Negative Land perform live in person on May 31st at the Greenville Drive-In. Info and tickets at wavefarm.org/drive-in.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Kurt in Babylon, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The Public News Service DOA Newscast, April the 16th, 2024. I'm Mike Clifford. We head first to Colorado, where families need to sign up before the end of April to receive $120 per child to buy food through the summer EBT program approved by the Congress.
Families with incomes that qualify for free and reduced price school lunches, up to around $49,000 a year for a family of three, must enroll through their school. Anya Rose with Hunger Free Colorado says as school cafeterias close their doors for summer, EBT cards can help kids get the nutrition they need to return to school in the fall ready to learn.
A lot of families will be automatically enrolled if they're enrolled in programs like TANF, SNAP, Medicaid. If you're unsure, then talk to your school about filling out the household income form to make sure you can qualify for this year if you're income eligible.
EBT grocery cards can be used to buy fruits and vegetables, milk, cheese, eggs, breads, meat, fish, and other food at all grocery stores that accept SNAP, the program formerly known as food stamps. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Plan. Rose notes grocery cards will be sent by mail, so it's important to make sure schools have your correct address. I'm Eric Galatis.
And now from Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, Donald J. Trump faces charges that he falsified business records to cover up a sex scandal while serving as president. More than half of the first group of prospective New York jurors was dismissed almost immediately. The Times reports Trump was charged in Manhattan, a deeply Democratic county, and his former home, with falsifying nearly three dozen business records in an attempt to cover up a payment to a porn star. Trump denies the encounter happened. He faces 34 felony counts and could face probation or up to 4 years of prison time. Next to Indiana, where our Joey Lurie reports, it just got easier for Hoosiers to study who is running for the upcoming May primary.
The Indiana Citizen is a nonpartisan news platform that has published its election guide to help make sense of the thousands of candidates whose names will appear on ballots. Publisher Bill Morrow says this is the fourth election in which the Indiana Citizen has participated, but it is the first primary election. He hopes voters will use the online tool to improve the state's civic health.
Indiana continues to be ranked among the very bottom for voter registration, civic literacy, and turnout. So we wanted to do something to contribute toward the civic health, but also providing unbiased information to voters.
According to Indiana Secretary of State Diago Morales, voter turnout for Indiana in the last comparable election for May 2020 was 65%. The highest turnout in the state was 75% in Hamilton and Wells counties. The lowest turnout was 59% in Delaware and Madison counties.
This is Public News Service. And today is National Healthcare Decisions Day. It highlights the importance of planning for the future when it comes to medical choices. Our Eric Tegetoff has more.
In particular, the organization Compassion and Choices is focused on end-of-life decisions and ensuring that people discuss advanced care planning with their loved ones and healthcare team. Megan Williams is Clinical Engagement and Education Program Manager with the organization.
Talking about your end-of-life plans, your advanced care plans, you're giving your loved ones and the people around you an opportunity to feel confident that they are following your wishes as they continue to support you through your journey.
Oregon is one of 10 states where medical aid in dying is legal.
And despite a recent policy victory, Wisconsin labor leaders still express concern about the current environment for shielding young teens from unsafe work environments.
Governor Tony Evers this month vetoed a bill that would have expanded the elimination of required work permits for those under 18. Wisconsin State AFL-CIO President Stephanie Bloomingdale says these are policy fights advocates thought they won decades ago when miners often worked in dangerous conditions. But she says there's a strong push to chip away at protections.
We are seeing a growing movement from different unscrupulous employers that want to put kids back in the workplace and not have the kind of oversight that is needed.
The Economic Policy Institute says rollbacks have been approved in a dozen states the past few years. And while current efforts are thwarted in Wisconsin, Bloomingdale worries about similar debates in future sessions. Backers of the Wisconsin bill say the goal was to reduce red tape for families. I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, from our Tramal Gomes, as the Sunshine State grapples with the rising temperatures and escalating weather events such as hurricanes, a new study sheds light on the pivotal role of Florida's wildlife corridor in mitigating the effects of climate change coupled with the surge of new residents.
The report is trumpeted as a first-of-its-kind study showcasing how the 18 million acres of the wildlife corridor, which runs through the entire state, ease the worst impact of climate change. It paints a picture of investing in resources that support cohabitation to be mutually beneficial with nature and the economic growth that comes from people who flock to the state to enjoy it. Colin Polsky founded the Florida Atlantic University School of Environmental, Coastal, and Ocean Sustainability, and is the study's lead author. He says the corridor benefits the state.
It's an attempt to welcome the 1,000 people a day approximately who move to Florida, but to do so in a way that allows the wildlife to continue to thrive.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. About a third of U.S. adults say they're interested in reducing the amount of meat they eat, even if they're not planning to become vegetarian or vegan.
Which is a really exciting finding because it's showing that food culture is beginning to bend in a more sustainable direction.
Eve Turrell-Paul is founder and executive director of the Food for Climate League. The nonprofit partnered on a recent report about people's eating habits and attitudes about plant-forward diets.
Plants really are at the forefront of the meal, and meat or other animal products such as dairy, butter, are going to be playing a supporting role to the plants. And by plants, we're not just talking about leafy greens. We're talking about whole grains, nuts, seeds, legumes. It runs the whole gamut.
According to the report, most people considering a more plant-forward diet are motivated by health or cost. But eating less meat also helps the climate. It reduces the deforestation caused by animal agriculture, and it helps limit climate-warming methane emissions from cows.
We don't need the whole world to be vegan and vegetarian. We do need everyone to be reducing the amount of animal protein that they are consuming.
So she's excited that more people are getting hungry for plant-forward meals. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, Friday, May 10th, 2024. I'm Farah Siddiqui. Panera Bread has pulled the charge line of caffeinated drinks from their menu after a number of wrongful death lawsuits. ABC News says the line was introduced just 2 years ago in 2022 and included charged lemonade and charged sip drinks. And teachers in Louisiana are trying to stop an upcoming constitutional convention proposed by Governor Jeff Landry. More from Frieda Ross.
The governor is demanding that state legislators and 27 of his appointees convene from May 20th through June 3rd to rewrite the state's constitution. Baton Rouge first grade teacher Jared Guidry says she's concerned.
I have been emailing all of my representatives saying this is too rushed. This is not a good idea. Something's going to get missed. Something's going to be done wrong. You cannot effectively go through this document in a matter of weeks.
K-12 funding, retirement security for teachers, school bus drivers, and other public employees who don't pay into the Social Security system are protected in the current Constitution. Petitions opposing the convention can be found on the Louisiana Federation of Teachers website.
Wisconsin's clean energy portfolio is growing. Communities seeing the transition happen at their doorstep might get benefits, but sometimes have questions about the scope of these projects. As Mike Bowen reports, a new grant could help deliver the facts.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension has received a $1 million federal grant to educate towns and cities about large-scale solar, wind, and similar development in their areas. The Extension's Sherry Gruder says the outreach strikes a balance between boosting the clean energy transition and factoring in local feedback from community interests.
Looking at endangered species in the area, will they be protected to what happens to the water and the wells?
Gruder says they'll also use the listening sessions to help dispel misinformation about renewable energy. This type of engagement comes as hundreds of locally adopted restrictions for wind and solar development surface around the U.S.
A Chicago mom who lost her son to cancer in 2022 is using the occasion of Mother's Day to call on Illinois lawmakers to pass medical aid in dying legislation.
Susie Flack's 34-year-old son Andrew was a special education teacher and avid hockey player living in California when he learned his cancer was terminal. Rather than return to his home state, he stayed in California, where medical aid in dying is legal. Now, with such legislation under consideration by Illinois lawmakers, Susie Flack is using social media to urge its passage.
Like I said in the video, I didn't realize how horrific cancer was. So I would really like to stress that that comfort level that he had because he had the control over his death.
I'm Roz Brown.
This is Public News Service. Ohio lawmakers are considering legislation that would raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour for most Ohio workers and create a refundable Ohio earned income tax credit.
Ohio's minimum wage is $10.45 per hour for most employees, which is higher than the federal minimum wage of $7.25 per hour. Policy Matters Ohio economist Michael Shields explains the provisions in Ohio law weaken minimum wage protections for certain groups.
Employers whose staff tipped workers are allowed to claim a portion of those workers' tips and use it to offset the wage that they pay those workers. So tipped workers can be paid as little as $5.25 per hour
A citizens' ballot initiative to raise the wage will appear before voters this November if it gathers the more than 442,000 valid signatures needed by July 23rd to be included on the ballot. Shields says increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour would benefit nearly a million Ohioans, around 30% of whom are Black and Latino workers. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
With less than a month left in the New York legislature's session, environmentalists are pushing for the HEAT Act's passage. Our Edwin J. Vieira reports.
Last-minute stalling from the Assembly kept it from being in the 2025 budget. The bill phases out gas line extension allowances and gives the Public Service Commission authority to align utility companies with the state's climate laws. Lisa Marshall with New Yorkers for Clean Power says lawmakers have no time to play politics with the state's climate future.
In a time where we've had the hottest year on record, record-breaking floods, our train system flooded out, air that children can't go outside and play and breathe for weeks on end, and they can't see if it's necessary to crack down and get to work and start to move the climate plan forward, then that's on them.
Passing the bill has faced misinformation campaigns from fossil fuel companies and some skepticism from lawmakers about relying entirely on electricity. They argue it's not useful if the power goes out, but infrastructure would prevent many fossil fuel energy sources from working correctly with the power out too. Governor Kathy Hochul has said she'll sign the bill if the legislature passes it.
Voting rights advocates continue to push to restore these rights for formerly incarcerated Mississippians after lawmakers failed to act. House Bill 1609, which died in the state Senate last week, would have automatically reinstated voting rights for people who complete their sentences and remain felony-free for 5 years. Executive Director of One Voice, Nasambi Lambright-Haynes, explains nearly 60 voting rights bills were introduced during the legislative session, but fewer than 10 survived.
Those eight that have passed the Senate now go to the governor's desk, and he can sign them or not sign them, and they become law, and those people have their voting rights back, or he can choose to veto those.
This is Farah Siddiqui for Public News Service. Member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 10th. Local early morning temperatures range from 43 degrees in Tannersville to 50 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 57 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today we can also expect rain. Less than a half inch is expected to fall all day. We get a high of 58 at 4 p.m. Overnight, there will be a brief break in the rain, and we see a low of 44 degrees. Tomorrow, more rain, high of 61 at 2 p.m. Overnight, 47 degrees and more rain. Sunday, rain again, high of 62. Monday, guess what? It's not rain. It's thunder, but also rain, and a high of 68. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5:03 a.m., low tide at 12:04 p.m. and high tide once again at 5:46 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 61 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 7:49 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:37 a.m. Looking way up, we see we have three Hadouken heading towards Earth. If they happen to cannibalize each other, they could become one big one. And as such, there is a G4 class storm watch up for the weekend. Auroras could be possible. Plasma winds will be average at 440 kilometers per second with an average density of 7 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair below 14 megahertz overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 170. And this has been the better weather for Friday, May 10th, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Next, we hear 2023 radio art from Chicago-based artist Holly Palumbo. Fans of the band Belle and Sebastian will certainly recognize a melody in Firedrake Jammer from her 2023 album Radio and My Voice. Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Turn out for Wayfarms WGXE 90.7 FM's karaoke contest fundraiser at Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, May 10th. The evening will be hosted by karaoke Amanda of WGXE show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, with proceeds from ticket sales benefiting WGXE. The contest's theme is communication, so all songs related to dialing, radio, phone, internet, fax, and more are eligible. Choose your tune and sing it for our guest judges, Ariel and Gloria, of WGXC show Las Brujas Bilingües, and DJ Patty Boom of WGXC show Vinyl Freedom to win prizes. Prizes include tickets to the Negative Land and Sue C., Matt Mose, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt show at the Greenville Drive-In and other goodies. Doors are open at 7 p.m. and karaoke contest begins at 8 p.m. If you can't turn out in person, tune in for a live broadcast of the event on the FM dial or online. For more information, visit the community calendar at wavefarm.org.
Next, we're going to hear some local music from Columbia County composer, drummer, percussionist Bobby Previtt and Ray Anderson. Their 2023 album is called Double Trouble, and this is Rollover. Thank you.
2023 music from Columbia County's Bobby Previtt on drums and Ray Anderson there. The album's called Double Trouble, and that song was called Rollover.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Wednesday, May 8th, several hundred people gathered at the state capitol at a rally organized by the local Muslim community to support the call for a ceasefire in Gaza. We hear from three of the main organizers of the event, Jamaica Miles of All of Us, Inman Jamal Shah of the Schenectady Islamic Center, and Dr. Shabib Shakima, who is the MC of the event.
Jamaica Miles, co-founder, executive director of All of Us, who is an affiliated member of Movement for Black Lives.
And why are you here today, Jamaica, at this Muslim support rally, ceasefire in Gaza at the state capitol?
All of us is here today because we've stood in unity in the fight to free Palestine from the very beginning. And as an affiliated member of the Movement for Black Lives, that is one of our pillars. It's freedom and liberation for all of us, not just some of us. So when the Muslim leadership reached out and asked if we would be a part of it, we were more than happy to be here because we do truly believe that it is necessary for everyone to have freedom and liberation and not for anyone to be oppressed or exploited.
Now, I understand that the Schenectady City Council hasn't quite passed a resolution yet.
So in the city of Schenectady, we've shown up at every city council meeting for almost 2 months now. We will be back there on Monday the 13th, demanding that they have a ceasefire resolution. And what's really interesting is the resolution that was presented to the city council does not just say that there should be a ceasefire specifically for Palestine, but it also recognizes the atrocity that happened on October 7th, something the city council did not address at the time. So the resolution that's been put forward actually calls out the violence that happened on October 7th, as well as the ongoing violence that continues today by Israel. So here's an opportunity for the city council to stand up for all of us and say that we need justice and liberation. We need an end to violence, regardless of who you are.
And what do we need the Biden administration to be doing at this point?
Well, I think it's been said before, but of course I'll say it again. No more weapons to Israel. They are violating both international and They are violating both international and national law. In our country, it says that if you use weapons against civilians, we're not going to give you weapons anymore. And I'm being really, you know, general about it, but that's what it says. So we're violating our own laws. If Biden really cared about the laws that govern this country, then he would follow them as well.
Thank you very much, Jamaica Miles.
Well, my name is Jamal Shah. I'm the Imam of the Schenectady Islamic Center. We're here today to protest against the ongoing genocide that the Israeli government is enacting upon the people of Gaza and Palestine as a whole. It's been 200 plus days. And the number of dead has been kept at 35,000 probably since January. So we're probably talking an uncountable number of people that have been murdered. So simply we're here today exercising our First Amendment right to protest against that and to speak out against it. As we can see around the country, more and more people are waking up to the realization that there is a very real apartheid and genocide happening within our lifetime. And as the other day was just Holocaust Remembrance Day, it's even more reason for us to speak out loud and unequivocally to ensure that we don't have another, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million deaths on our hands.
So besides, you know, a ceasefire, what needs to happen at this point? How do we get lasting peace here?
Well, I mean, the answer is pretty clear. It's not a complicated situation. We need to input some pressures on the Israeli government to do things that a democracy would do, namely end the occupation, namely recognize the state of Palestine, namely stop the savagery and the butchery. And as the United States government, that is the world superpower. That is the superpower that enables Israel, that also can disable Israel. So we want our elected officials to actually represent the interests of the people and not the interests of themselves.
Most of our elected officials at this point, especially at the federal level, but here at the Capitol, don't seem to be listening. Why is that?
To simplify it, there is a certain lobby that goes around, that actually pays our Congress members and state-level officials as well to act in their interests. This lobby is called AIPAC. The irony is that AIPAC is funded by the Israeli government. The irony about the Israeli government is that that money is U.S. taxpayer dollars. So we have taxpayer dollars going to Israel, then coming back to the United States, but not back into the interest of the taxpayer, but into the pockets of elected officials. And then they promote whatever propaganda they're told to promote. As the U.S. taxpayer being at the center of all this, it feels like we're getting a pretty big middle finger saying, your money is now our money, and you get no say in what policies we decide to promote, what policies we decide to enact. And I think as an American citizen, law-abiding citizen, taxpayer, I find that highly problematic. And I just don't know that there's any Americans that are okay with their tax dollars being spent. Not only do these elected officials get their salaries and wages from our tax dollars, but then they also get these benefits. And I mean, let's face it, if this was another country, we would call that a bribe. But because of the political system here and because of, you know, some kind of arcane laws, we can't call it a bribe. But it's as simple as being handed cash and then doing whatever the person that just handed you the cash says to do.
Anything else you'd like to add?
We need more and more people to be brave and courageous in their support. We know there's so many people, especially within the Jewish community that we've heard from, that have been facing all kinds of harassment and intimidation from Zionists within their community, even within the Christian community. I'm speaking as a faith leader, and it just really pains my heart to see that there are people that are so hateful out there in this world that can't or won't allow their own people, sometimes that's within their own household, to simply just call for peace. That's what we're here for. We're not here calling for, you know, a violent end or death to anyone. We're here trying to promote the preservation of life. And that's the irony in all of this, is that you have people that want a genocide to continue. As we can see, either the Israeli army is totally incompetent or they're a bunch of liars. You can't kill that many people and say that you've done the job when that many people are all civilians. As we can see, rockets are still being fired, which means they have not cleared out or achieved any of their stated military objectives. So, like I said, they're either wholly incompetent, which means the United States government, President Biden, is funding an incompetent army who are enacting war crimes, which, by the way, the war crimes report was due yesterday, and it's indefinitely delayed, and Congress is not happy about that. But if they're not wholly incompetent and they are well-trained, then that means they are just lying about the number of people that they've killed. They claim to have one of the best, I don't know how this can be the best, but one of the most moral civilian to combatant death ratios. And just simple mathematics, simple statistics, and just hearing from the victims themselves on the grounds, the people that have been left behind who've lost all their family, that can't be further from the truth. I would say at this point, it's over 85% of civilian casualties. And honestly speaking, no one really knows how many Hamas fighters there are, but we do know how many civilians there are. And we do see how many civilians have their homes bombed and their families bombed day after day after day. As I'm speaking to you right now, at least 10 children are dying this hour. And I just don't see how the world can be quiet about that.
Yeah, so my name is Dr. Sahib Chikima, and we're here obviously as part of the you know, the protests here. And in addition to just coming here protesting, obviously we're still asking for a ceasefire, and we want to show support for the students around, you know, the globe, not just the country, and the amazing things they're doing. And all they're asking for is to save lives. So we're here. This is not the first time that actually we're coming out. Now we have even more reason, because things are getting worse by the day. And also we're, you know, I personally am here volunteering, trying to collect petition signatures for both Dr. Jill and Dr. West. And the reason we want to do that is we really want to show what democracy is. And you know, we're tired of the two-party system where you only have one of the two. And, you know, sometimes we said the least of the two evils. That should not be an option for people. People should choose, you know, those that reflect, you know, their principles, their belief, not necessarily religious belief, but belief in the system. And I personally, I'm still trying to figure out who am I going to vote for, but that's irrelevant right now. I just want people to know that, hey, once you're coming out, because a lot of people are saying we're not going to vote. That's not the answer, right? You have a voice, use it. So what is better than giving them more than two options? And we're hoping at least one of the candidates that we're collecting signatures for will make it into the ballot. I know the number right now is 45,000 signatures, which means we have to collect about 90,000, but we're working on it. So this is what we're trying to do in addition to the protest.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
You're saying Hamas has put Palestinians in the crosshairs of Israel, so stand Israel down? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my friggin' life.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham condemns President Joe Biden's decision to withhold weapons from Israel over concerns about Rafah. Republicans accuse Biden of giving in to progressives. Democrat Chris Coons says he told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that while he understands the desire to attack Hamas, civilians have to be protected.
You have to provide a pathway for civilians to leave Rafah before you go in at scale with a bombing campaign, a ground campaign.
Others argue the idea of eliminating Hamas is unrealistic, and Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders says Biden risks losing the election over it.
Biden is not a perfect candidate. I have very strong disagreements with him over Gaza. I'm glad to see he's making some good movements forward.
Former President Donald Trump's appealing what he calls an unconstitutional gag order in his hush money trial. Judge Juan Merchan has refused to loosen the gag, saying Trump could try to intimidate porn star Stormy Daniels, who just testified Trump paid her to hide a sexual encounter. Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott repeats a Trump argument that the White House is behind the case.
It's a crime in this country to use the court system to go after your political opponents. What's happening in this courtroom is clearly criminal.
In fact, the case is being brought by the Manhattan DA, not the Department of Justice. Some in Mississippi still want to restore voting rights for people with criminal records after a bipartisan bill failed to get a vote in the state Senate. Democratic State Representative Otis Anthony says folks re-entering society should be able to fully participate in civic life.
These are human beings who have families. These are people who have been convicted, they've been incarcerated, they've paid their debt to society.
Opponents argue those who break laws shouldn't be allowed to influence their making. One in 10 Mississippians can't vote because of a prior felony conviction. A new poll shows likely rural voters in 10 battleground states are up for grabs. Researcher Patrick Toomey says they're what he calls economic populists, supportive of programs like Medicare and Social Security, but against the government interfering in issues like abortion.
Rural voters are opposed to abortion bans. They have nuanced views around abortion itself, but three-quarters either support it or don't want the government interfering in something that should be left up to women and their doctors.
Finally, actress Cheryl Lee Ralph is arguing that if Planned Parenthood's taken away, some communities would be all but denied adequate health care.
They've got to understand that they don't go to these clinics just because they've been a bad girl or a naughty lady. You go to clinics like this because you need health care.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 7th, South Dakota democracy advocates submitted the necessary signatures to put a constitutional amendment establishing a top two open primary system on the ballot. The ballot question would allow the 150,000 independent voters whose tax dollars underwrite the primary to actually vote in it. On Monday, South Dakota open primary submitted 25% more than the required 35,000 signatures necessary for state constitutional amendments, according to Secretary of State figures. The measure establishes a single ballot open primary for congressional, gubernatorial, state legislature, and county offices. All candidates, regardless of party, would run on the same ballot, but a party affiliation is listed. The top two candidates advance to the general election, again, regardless of party. Such a system allows all voters to participate in the primary, including independents and third-party voters. South Dakota's current system is closed, allowing only voters registered with that party to use that party's ballot. Likewise, open primaries allow independent and third-party candidates to run on the same ballot. Because the candidates must appeal to voters not registered with that party, open primaries helps to limit partisan polarization and offer more choice to voters. Open primaries are often paired with ranked choice voting, but South Dakota Republicans have banned its use. We have links to the ballot question text at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir, llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456, mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
was a stranger in the city, out of town where the people I knew. I had that feeling of self-pity. What to do, what to do, what to do? The outlook was decidedly blue. But as I walked through the foggy streets alone, it turned out to be the luckiest day I've known. A foggy day in London town had me low and had me down. I viewed the morning with alarm. The British Museum had lost his charm. How long, I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles hadn't passed. Yes, for suddenly, baby, I saw you there. Through the fog in London town, the sun was shining everywhere.
Foggy day in London town had me low and it had me down. I viewed the morning with alarm. The British Museum its charm. How long I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles hadn't passed. For suddenly I saw you there, and through foggy London town the sun was shining. Hey.